Well, the term community supported agriculture is it's been around for a little while, and I tell you what, it's gaining in importance here in Wisconsin. We're happy to have with us today Laura Brown and Dave Kozlowski. Laura is the program coordinator for the Madison Area Community Supported Agriculture Coalition and Partner Shares Program. David Kozlowski is director of the Milwaukee CSA Initiative and co-owns Pinehold Gardens at Oak Creek, Wisconsin, with us to talk about community-supported agriculture, and we're certainly inviting your questions and comments as we move along today. You're going to have a chance to learn about about community-supported agriculture at a couple of open houses. We're going to talk about those as well, and certainly take your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Laura Brown, welcome back. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
And Dave Kozlowski, thank you for coming by as well. Appreciate it very much.
Good morning, Larry, and welcome to spring.
Welcome to spring. Yeah, it's a perfect day, isn't it? The first day of spring to talk about community-supported agriculture. You know what? I know that many people are listening are familiar with it, but let's... Laura, do you want to talk about just what is community-supported agriculture?
Sure. Yeah, it's community-supported agriculture describes a relationship between consumers and a farm. And I like to describe it as similar to a magazine subscription. So consumers will pay a flat fee at the beginning of the growing season, and that's usually now, sometime in the spring, and then receive a box or a bag of whatever's harvested from that farm every week throughout the growing season. And here in Wisconsin, that growing season is typically the beginning of June through October, and some farms will extend their season earlier into April or later into November or December. So that's generally how it works.
How many farms do we have involved in community-supported agriculture?
In the greater Madison area, we estimate about 25. Mm-hmm. There are 23 mm-hmm. that are part of our coalition. And in the state, there are 70 to 80 CSA farms. So people have a lot to choose from.
And Dave Kozlowski in Milwaukee area, then there are quite a few there too.
There's 13 farms that are part of the initiative, but I always hear that there's other small farms here and there that aren't part of either MACSAC or the initiative. It's a growing movement. The latest figures I saw was nationally 2,000 CSAs, and that's up significantly from the last time they looked at it.
And as we think about a CSA farm, we're talking about a farm that could vary quite a bit, I think, in terms of its size. Could it not?
That's true. Yeah, the farms in our coalition will range from a quarter of an acre to over 25 or 30 acres, and they can have 6 members or 1,000 members. Their level of mechanization also varies quite a bit. Some are horse-powered, some have 7 tractors that they use on the farm. And they also grow a variety of different things. We have, you know, the traditional CSA is a vegetable, fruit and vegetable CSA, so they're growing 40 to 50 varieties of fruits and vegetables on the farm, but then we also have some newer farms that are offering things like meats and dairy products, canned goods, a whole range of options.
And again, if you'd like to join in, the number to call 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Questions about community-supported agriculture, we'd love to hear from you. And David, your farm is, I'm trying to remember, you've talked about your farm in the past on the program, and it's not a large farm in terms of acreage.
Nope, we just own 21 acres, and I want to sort of add to something that Laura said. When she says a quarter acre to 25 acres, a lot of times that's in production. I mean, that's vegetables, that's not just land. For instance, our farm is 21 acres. We probably have this year we'll have 6 or 7 acres in vegetables. So it would be considered small to medium sized CSA.
And how many how many members could you support on an operation of that size?
Well, we are planning on supporting 150 members.
Wow!
But that also includes and those are families, by the way,
right.
150 families. And but that also includes farm market sales and some restaurant sales.
Well, let's take some calls. Karis and Lafarge, we'll go to you next. Thank you very much for calling. Hi.
Hi, I'm calling. I moved out to Western Wisconsin almost 10 years ago, and I tried to start a CSA when I first came out here. And I had a number of problems. One of them was going back to the previous program. The tax assessor told me, that ain't agriculture. And so my 13 acres was listed as residential.
Mm.
So I've had to pay residential property taxes on this. I was, I have about probably 3 of the 13 acres under cultivation, even though, I mean, in one way or another, it's, I've got blueberries and cherry trees and apple trees and pears and raspberries and strawberries and, you know, all kinds of stuff growing, asparagus and things like that. So it's like a large amount of, even, you know, perennials as well as that, the annuals that I had growing. So that was one of the first problems, was the tax assessment and how that was looked at. And then dealing with individuals, a lot of people really didn't understand what CSA was about. And, you know, I had a customer in La Crosse that dropped out of the CSA because, well, I started in April delivering produce that I had started growing in my fields in February under glass.
Mm-hmm.
And by May, she wanted to drop out because I hadn't provided strawberries yet.
Oh.
And I tried to explain to her it would be easier for me to bring her strawberries in November than it would be to bring her strawberries in April. You know, and I could, because I have everbearings that grow, you know, and I could put them under coal frames and keep them going even into December. But what I finally gave up on it for a number of reasons. You know, the ones I've cited are just a few of them. But what I've decided is, if I ever do this again, I want to have people, if people aren't willing to come out and work in the gardens, actually doing some of the labor, then I don't want them as members.
Hmm. All right. Well, I know that both Laura and Dave have some comments for you. Laura, let's turn to you first.
Yeah, I think you bring up, I mean, the two problems that it sounds like you had when you first started your CSA seem to me related to this issue of education about what CSA is, how it works, what members' commitment is to your farm. And it continues to be a big issue in areas where, you know, CSA is not quite as understood. And I wanted to mention to you that there is a coalition in the Twin Cities area, and that spans part of western Wisconsin as well, that's doing similar work to MACSAC and to the Milwaukee CSA initiative to educate people about CSA, their commitment, how it works. You know, when you join a CSA, you are taking a risk. You're sharing the risk with the farmer. And your members need to understand that. And also, you know, that education extends to your local planners and your local legislators. So, you know, educating them about your land use issues is really important also. And I think the coalitions that we represent in the Twin Cities Initiative could really help you to expand the education of CSA in your community.
Mm-hmm. David, comment from you?
On the tax issue, she needs to find out if you're zoned. Now, I'm not an expert on this, so you need to find an expert. But, I mean, if you're zoned ag, then he may have been wrong. I mean, you'd have to look into that, because growing vegetables, as far as we know, is the same thing as growing corn. It's still ag. And Laura was right. Marketing, unfortunately, maybe, is a part of being a CSA. And so you need to be able to communicate your ideas with your members and potential members. And it sometimes puts you in a public position that many farmers might be uncomfortable with. But it's part of being a CSA.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it very much. Kathy and Humbert, it's your turn next. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning.
Morning.
We have a son and daughter-in-law who are interning right now on an organic farm, and in about a year, they'll be ready to start their own farm. And my question for you is, what type of financing and traditional methods of getting started are there available to young people just starting out, and where should they be looking?
Okay, that's a good question. And it's actually a question I had meant to ask Rod Nelson's doing about, and we just ran out of time. But Laura, a comment from you?
Yeah, sure. We have a couple of things that we offer to new farms, but I will mention some other programs that are available to new farmers. They might, I don't know if they're already involved with the Collaborative Regional Alliance for Farmer Training, the CRAFT program, which is it's an internship program, and they also offer a farm beginnings course for new farmers that are getting started. So it really depends on where they are in their farm education. If they are interested in CSA and the folks coming out of the Farm Beginnings course, which is offered by the CSA Learning Center located in Illinois, is there are about 30% of the people coming out of that program are interested in CSA. And so we actually just started up a new program. It's our Farm Mentorship Program that provides one-on-one support for new farms that are or new farmers that are just starting and need some, you know, expert advice, some on a particular area of production or just general production planning. So those are a few things that I would direct your attention to. And you can find more information about that on our website, www.maxac.org. CSA Learning Center website is csalearningcenter.org, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I wrote that all down. Thank
all
you
right.
very much. Thanks
Thank you. Very much for calling. Appreciate it. David, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, there was the fact that that her son and daughter are, I think it was, are interning at a farm is probably the most important step they can take to starting a CSA, because it may look like slave labor, and it probably is in some instances, but that sort of knowledge, that actual on-farm, hands-on knowledge is critical to when you get into the business, because it's hard work, and you find that out right away as an intern.
Yep, and thanks again for calling. If you'd like to join in, the number to call 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. And I should mention, MACSAC is M-A-C-S-A-C.
Correct.
Is the proper acronym there, in case you were wondering. It's not M-A-C-K, it's M-A-C-S-A-C.
Thank you.
.org, if you want to get online and find out some more about it. And we're going to be lots of callers online to be visiting with our guests. And they brought some great smelling foods, too, and have some pretty nice foods in front of me here. So I want to take a break. Plus, the news is coming up. Our guests today, Laura Brown, Program Coordinator for the Madison Area CSA Coalition and Partner Shares Program, and David Kozlowski, Director of the Milwaukee CSA Initiative and co-owner of Pinehold Gardens at Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Our guests here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. They'll be with us right till 12:30. On this National Agriculture Day, we are talking community-supported agriculture with Laura Brown of the Madison Area Coalition and Partner Shares Program. She coordinates the program. Dave Kozlowski directs the Milwaukee CSA Initiative, co-owns Pinehold Gardens at Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Certainly, if you have some questions, feel free to join in at 800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And let's go to Tony in Sparta, who's been patiently waiting. Tony, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was listening to your one of your callers talk about financing farms, beginning farms. And I just wanted to mention to your listeners that USDA Farm Service Agency has a loan program for those who are interested in beginning farming, as well as a program that helps traditional farmers or conventional farmers who wish to transition into organics. We target funds. I'm a loan officer for Farm Service Agency, and we do target funds especially for the beginning farmer. So if any listeners finding a little bit more about it, I would suggest that they go on our website at www.fsa.usda.gov, and you can locate and give us a call, ask for a loan officer, a farm loan manager, and we'd be real happy to help you.
Well, that's great, Tony. I appreciate it very much. Good news, fsa.usda.gov as a place to go to look for some funds getting started. Any comments, Laura, from you?
I just want to say thanks for calling in. That's great information, and we'll definitely provide that to our farms.
All right. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it. Laura in Madison, we go to you next. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I just had a quick question. I was interested in joining a CSA, but the initial investment is a little hard for me. And I'm curious about working on the farm. I know that sometimes you can get a discount on the amount you pay, but I was just wondering what I could expect if I went and worked on the spent a day working on the farm, or what the typical experience is.
Sure, that's a good question. Dave Kozlowski?
The first thing I would say about payment of the membership of a farm is there are almost every CSA has different payment options, and so there's ways of making that initial payment a little less painful. You could spread it out over time, and some farms and some organizations like MaxAc has an assistance fund that will help cover the cost of a membership to a farm. What's a typical day like for a worker share? It's a great experience. It depends a little bit from farm to farm. It depends on the size of the farm. On some farms, a worker share, you might be doing a little bit of everything on any given day that you're in there. It could be harvesting, weeding, preparing vegetables for the boxes, packing boxes. Some worker shares work on computers, do computer work, bookkeeping. I mean, there's a whole realm of things that a worker share could possibly do. It's hard to say exactly what a typical day would be like, but I certainly would prepare myself for working in all kinds of weather, getting to recognize mosquitoes and enjoying their bites, know that it can be very hot, that you got to take water with you. It really can vary, but every worker share that I've had the experience of working with seems to have enjoy the experience. Many of our worker shares come back year after year. In fact, they are friends, and we miss them dearly in the wintertime and look forward to them coming back in the spring.
And Laura, do you want to add something to this? Since Laura is from Madison, you may have some more to say about the Madison MaxAc.
Yes, I did want to expand a little bit on some of your payment options. If you are part of a household that can't maybe afford that initial payment for the CSA, I would encourage you to do a worker share if you're able to do that. That's really the best way to get to know a farm and get to know how your food is grown. But if you'd like to explore some other options for payments, like David said, many farms do offer payment plans. We also operate the Partner Shares Assistance Fund, which covers 50% of the cost of your CSA share for households that are meet the income eligibility guidelines. It's a very simple program. And again, you can find all the paperwork for that program on our website, www.macsac.org. I did also want to mention the Eat Healthy Rebate, which is a really innovative program that we launched this past year with Physicians Plus Insurance Company. If you have Physicians Plus Insurance, you can get $100 to $200 cash back. It's a cash rebate off of the cost of a CSA share, which essentially cuts the cost in half. So for anyone who's listening, you can go to the Physicians Plus website and find some more information on that.
So I hope that helps out, Laura.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And Jill in Lac des Flambeaux, your turn now. Hi, Jill.
Hi. I want to thank you so much for this show. My daughter worked on a CSA in Madison last summer or the summer before. I wanted to say that in my experience, these people who are operating these farms are doing it because they believe so much in healthy food, in getting away from agribusiness, in involving the community in growing healthy food. And, you know, my hat's off to all these people. They are wonderful, and the more the community can support them, the better. Get out to the farm, get involved in, you know, the production of the food. It'll change your whole outlook. Thanks a lot. Bye.
I'm sure you hate calls like that.
You know, no. But she does raise a point. There's a saying that probably many of us know that we've heard Wendell Berry say, and he says that eating is an agricultural act. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that in today's today's marketplace. So I really applaud CSA members who are getting involved with CSAs because they are taking control of an agricultural system. They're taking control of where their food comes from. They are being active consumers, if you will, rather than passive consumers. So I applaud CSA members.
Thanks again for calling. And on to Tom in Fond du Lac. Tom, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I was just curious to know how does the price of your produce compare with the price one would pay in a supermarket setting?
All right. Thanks for calling. Laura? Or either one. Dave, Dave, you can take it first. David, go ahead.
It depends, of course. I would say if I were to just consider prices with a broad brushstroke here. Generally, if you're looking at a conventional grocery store, you might pay a little bit more than you would week to week by buying a CSA. Now, that said, there's a dramatic difference in what you're buying too. When you're buying from a conventional grocery store, you may pay a little less, but usually the produce isn't as fresh and doesn't last as long, where you get your produce from a CSA, for the most part, it's 24 hours or less old. And we've had folks tell us when they buy lettuce they get lettuce from a CSA, it lasts weeks, whereas the lettuce that they buy in the store lasts days. So it depends on how you look at the cost. If you're looking at your ticker tape or receipt tape at the cash register, you might pay a little less. But in the long haul, I think you're probably getting a better deal with the CSA.
Mm-hmm. And to give you an idea, too, of how much you could expect and generally how much it might be per week, the typical CSA share will feed a family of four. And it's usually our farms are typically around a 5/9 bushel box, which is a little bit bigger than an average grocery bag. And that'll run you about $22 to $25 per week. Mm-hmm. Now, that said, if you're new to CSA or if your family doesn't eat a lot of vegetables, most families will split a share or get an every other week share or a small size share. So, you know, $11 to $12 per week would give you a good amount of fruits and vegetables.
Just a little over a buck a day then at that rate. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. Bob in Brookfield, your turn. Hi, Bob.
Oh, hi, Larry. Larry, I've just got a question. We're a customer of a CSA. We own a share, and we've got some farm machinery that we were thinking of donating to that particular CSA. I was just wondering if that would be tax deductible, if your guests would know anything about that.
Mm. If you're making a donation to one of the farms that's a nonprofit organization, it would be. There are several in the Madison Area CSA Coalition that are. I don't know which farm you're a member of, but that would be something to look into.
Okay, so it would have to be a nonprofit or a farm.
Yep.
CSA.
Yep.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. The 14th annual CSA open house for Madison area people will be this coming Saturday, March 24th. From 1 to 4 at the Olbrich Botanical Gardens on Atwood Avenue in Madison. What a beautiful place for a beautiful setting to have that open house. Talk about your open house, Laura.
Yeah, it's an exciting event. Mayor Dave Cheslevich will be there welcoming the public at 1 o'clock. We have two workshops for new CSA members. You can watch a slideshow, and then there's a panel with a farmer and a CSA member and ask them any questions that you have about getting started with CSA. We also have a cooking demo that'll start at 3 o'clock with Chef Stephen Buchholz. And it's going to be a lot of fun, activities for kids, crafts, and we have rented the whole facility this year. So when you come in, you'll see a little map and you can visit the farms and have some refreshments and have your kids do some crafts with your kids too.
So it's a nice family event then.
Definitely.
This Saturday from 1 to 4 at Olbrich Botanical Gardens. And David, what about yours? Yeah, yours is coming up the week after.
Saturday, March 31st at the Urban Ecology Center. And surprise, surprise, it looks a lot like MaxSac's open house. we have Ann Beyer, who is the director of the Office of Environmental Sustainability, going to address the folks there at the open house, preceding a class that we're going to be offering called CSA 101. which will be an introductory course to folks who are walking into this not really knowing what a CSA is. Children's activities. We also will provide sampling of seasonal food provided by the farmers and prepared by slow food chefs in the Milwaukee area with a group called Slow Food Wisconsin Southeast. And lots of fun. It's from 1 to, no, where are we? Yep, noon to 4.
Noon to 4.
Noon to 4.
And again, the location?
The Urban Ecology Center. That's 1500 East Park Place on Milwaukee's east side near UWM.
Wonderful. And it's the delicious aromas here are starting to drive me crazy. You do a lot of different things, don't you, David, with your CSA?
We do a number of things. We have an on-farm event like most CSAs do. And in the boxes, we have recipes and newsletters. All CSAs offer that. We as an organization are also offering canning classes or food preservation classes this year. Last year, we started that that program. I put that mm-hmm. in. It was very successful. And this year, we've expanded to one food preservation class a month from May through November. And mm-hmm. they will cover everything from a basic food preservation intro class, which is not a prerequisite for all the classes, but is highly recommended since canning of anything or preserving a food of anything is relatively simple, but it's got to be done right or you're going to have problems. And then we'll cover everything from drying and infusing herbs into things, making ice cream.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Pretty much every way to carry the flavor of summer into winter.
And what did you bring today just to show? You have some...
I brought some muffins in that my wife and I made this morning. And they're made with all Wisconsin or even local CSA ingredients, with the exception of sugar. She wouldn't allow me to put honey in there. So the sugar comes from outside of Wisconsin, but otherwise it's Wisconsin products.
Oh, well, Jim Packard was rubbing his tummy there. He got into the box before I had a chance and has already sampled and really likes what you brought. That's for sure.
Great.
Michelle in Maryland, Wisconsin, your turn. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
There's a local farm in my area, and on a flyer that I recently got, they said that they would give discounts to anybody who became a leader of a CSA. Now, I guess I'm wondering, it doesn't seem to fit in the regular model of a CSA, and so I'm wondering if maybe your guests could, obviously they don't know that particular farm, but if they could comment on maybe how I would go about organizing people to create sort of a mock CSA, I would assume it is.
Laura, do you know anything about that?
I don't know about that specific example, but I would say a good place to start is to look at some of the first CSAs that started up in the country. They were organized by consumers. A lot of the CSAs on the East Coast were organized by groups of residents who wanted to have local food, and then they found a farmer. So that would be Temple Wilton CSA and Indian Line Farm on the East Coast were the two first CSAs in the country. And there's a lot of good history on that at newfarm.org. There's a book out by Steve McFadden, who is a researcher on CSA, that has a lot of great information on that, too. So I'd say start there.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Michelle, for calling. Appreciate it. And Tina Marie in Milwaukee, it is your turn. Hi.
Hi. Thank you. I have a couple comments and a question. One being, I was an intern, actually, on a CSA, and it is an incredible experience and everything that goes along with it. One of the comments I wanted to say, too, when someone was asking about the comparison of maybe the cost for a share versus the grocery store, a lot of what you'll get in your boxes as well are very different and unique things that you won't get in the grocery store, be it heirloom, be it herbs, a lot of edibles that you wouldn't expect. But my question is, when you know of a CSA that unfortunately isn't living up to the name and the ideals of a CSA, what can you do about it?
That's a good question, and hopefully it's one that doesn't have to come up very often. David, I'll start with you.
Stop supporting it. That would be the best way to do it. Let other people, let organizations know, like the Milwaukee CSA Initiative or MAXAC, know that there's a CSA out there that's not doing what it should be doing, and at least that puts those organizations aware of the fact in case they try to become members. I would say stop supporting. It's one of the best ways to do it. And just a comment on your first comment about the variety of foods that you get in CSAs. I mean, there's lots of reasons to belong to a CSA. There's environmental reasons. There's, I think, monetary reasons for belonging to a CSA. Some people make a political choice by belonging to a CSA, too. But really, it all comes down to taste. And CSA farmers like to grow for taste. You will find a lot of heirloom vegetables, and you will find crops that conventional farmers can't grow because they're not portable. You can't ship them from California.
Go ahead.
No, it's just that in regards to the reputation of this particular CSA, unfortunately, everybody seems to know. And it's still gets to be part of, the Milwaukee Initiative, et cetera. So maybe I just need to come and chat with you at another point, obviously off air. But it's been very frustrating to hear year after year, intern after intern, et cetera, that...
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I was going to say you can email me either at info@pineholegardens.com or csa@slowfoodwise.org.
I wanted to mention, too, that one of the reasons why these coalitions were formed was so that the existing CSAs really had a way to market the idea of CSA and maintain the integrity of CSA for consumers who are purchasing from farms that are part of these coalitions. And MAXAC has been around for quite a while, and one thing that we do as a coalition is a peer review application process for all the farms that we formally promote. So all the farms that you'll find at the Madison area open house and that are promoted through our farm list that you'll find on our website have been through an extensive application process that demonstrates their reliability, their business planning, and then they actually have an interview with existing CSA farmers so that consumers can feel pretty good about joining that farm. And, this year what we're doing is for farms that are not formally accepted into the coalition, providing a little bit more support through a mentorship program so that they can start to, work on their business planning or any areas of their production that consumers aren't really feeling happy with or they're not feeling comfortable with quite yet. So that's something that the other initiatives have looked at, just maybe not initiated quite yet.
Thanks very much for calling. And what was the contact for yourself there, David?
You could contact me either at our farm email, which is info@pineholegardens.com, or via the Slow Food Wise website, which is www.slowfoodwise.org. And there's a csa@slowfoodwise.org on there that you can get me.
Tell us a little bit more about what you have on your farm. What do you raise and what do you deliver to people?
Well, we raise 40 to 50 different fruits and vegetables. So pretty much anything that can be grown in this climate in an ecological way. Tomatoes, obviously, we probably grow, and my wife's the tomato person, so I'm sure she'll correct me when I get home, but we probably grow 20, 25, maybe 30 different varieties of tomatoes. Cucumbers, summer squash, winter squash, spinach, lettuce, cutting lettuce, head lettuce, scallions, garlic, onions, potatoes, pretty much anything that you can grow in this area.
And some things that people aren't normally accustomed to getting or maybe wouldn't buy if they were in the grocery store, Laura.
That's true. A lot of farms do grow some interesting or more unusual things. And I was glad that the last caller brought that up because most farms will do that, but they also provide with their share usually a recipe or information about that crop. For instance, kohlrabi or salsify or Jerusalem artichokes might be things that you're not so familiar with that you might get in your box. But the farmer knows that, and he or she is going to, you know, let you know how to best use those things. I wanted to mention, too, that we publish a cookbook specifically for CSA members. It's called From Asparagus to Zucchini, a guide to cooking seasonal produce, and you can get that on our website also or at the CSA open house.
And again, those open houses, the 14th annual CSA open house will be this Saturday in Madison. This Saturday, March 24th, from 1 to 4 at Olbrich Botanical Garden. That's on Atwood Avenue in Madison. We've got 20 area CSA farmers, lots of refreshments, live music, workshops, crafts, face painting for kids, all kinds of things. And then the Milwaukee CSA Initiative's 5th annual open house will be this the Saturday after, March 31st. And that's from noon to 4 at the Urban Ecology Center. That's at 1500 East Park Place in Milwaukee. Food from Slow Food Wisconsin Southeast, educational displays, and lots of activities for kids. Thank you both very much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Laura Brown is coordinator of the Madison Area CSA Coalition. David Kozlowski directs the Milwaukee CSA Initiative. Thanks for listening. Stay with us.